Change is trying. Tell me something new, huh? This is Dr. Herta Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California, and bringing you an instant inspiration. Yeah, tell me something new. Change is trying. You know, when you take children to the store after a summer and you fit them with new clothing to get ready for school. In Wisconsin, Mother used to have the Sears catalog, and we'd be at our lake cottage, and she'd take each one of us in separately, and she'd say, all right, now we're going to select some clothing for you for fall, for school. Now we need a pair of shoes, we need four or five pairs of socks, we need some underwear, undershirts, and we need some pants, and we need some shirts, and we need a jacket, you know. And maybe something else, maybe a sweater. So we'd go through the catalog, and we'd select the things that we wanted. And then I'd get them in my size, and she'd measure me to see where I was at that moment. And then she'd add in half an inch, you know, because she never knew what was going to happen, as what she hoped I'd get a little fatter. But then the day arrived when the box from Sears arrived at the house. The box from Sears arrived at the house when we got back from their cottage to the lake. And there it was. And we each opened it up. And it smelled so new clothes-like, you know, so wonderful. We couldn't wait to take our selections and run to our room and put them on. And we would try on everything. And they always fit. It always fit. And we would wear it. And Mother said, just a minute. You go back in your room and you take those things off now. And you put on your play clothes. And it's, when it's time to go to school, then you put them on. Not before. But they're so nice. Oh, I want to wear them. Oh, we were so eager to have them on. So eager to wear our new clothes. It wasn't the king's new clothes. They were quite real. And it was kind of fun. It was kind of fun. But we waited. At night, after we went to bed, we'd get up and we'd try them on again, just to make sure that they fit perfectly, you know. And one morning, my mother went into my little brother's room, and he still had a problem wetting the bed. And so, Mother found him in his school clothes, lying in bed, sleeping, sopping wet. And she says, what silliness is this? You know, it's bad enough that you wet the bed. Yeah, but then you have to wear your new school clothes. Well, okay, they get washed before you wear them to school then. You know, that's just the way it is. So, no big deal. So she washed the clothes for him. But new clothes, new things are always very, very testing to us. Now, my dad would buy a new car every couple of years because his work was quite rugged and the car would break down and it would have many, many problems to it. It was cheaper to get a different one than to try to repair the one he had. So every time we get a new car, we would polish that car. It was already polished. We'd polish that car and love that car and ask him to tell us all about how to shift the gears and how to do all the things that it called for. They were always Fords. Well, we had a few Pierce Arrow and a Buick and a few other things. And we had a Hudson and we had a Kaiser car. That's the name of it. And it was quite nice. But this was when we were in college. Pop had this Kaiser. And it was always fun. The new car has always such a nice new smell about it that makes it so attractive. You want to get in there and enjoy it. It's just like coming out of the dentist. When you come out of the dentist after having your teeth cleaned, your mouth smells so fresh, and everything about you smells so fresh. You think you're clean. You think your breath is clean. You think everything about you is clean. It's such a newness. Well, everything that we have that comes into our life that's a newness is such a joy. But we're in the process of switching over here on campus from many of the old systems that we had, Millennium, 2000, and 98, and all the various other things, to NT, or the XT. And this is the latest thing that's out, XT.
XP.
Well, whatever it is. XP. What does it mean, XP?
Extra power.
Extra power. That's a good word for it. Extra power. And we're upgrading ourselves. Now, I went on to extra power and struggled along with it, having a great time. And we put Ingeborg on to extra power. And the people who really needed it, Ellen and Sylvia, they didn't get it right away. They stayed with their Millennium and their 2000 and so forth.
Totally happy.
Totally happy. That's right, totally happy. And going along just great. But as with all things, change is trying because it demands new attitudes from us, new thinking to us, and new ways of doing things. Just as our new school clothing was trying, because we wanted to try it on, we wanted to wear it, we wanted to have it everywhere. So once you get going on the XP, you'll find that it too will wear on you in a very joyous, wonderful way. It's something kind of fun. It's something kind of exciting, because the very thing about XP is that all of the programs are being designed now to work with it. And it's supposed to automatically make everything plug and play. I suppose Millennium was supposed to do that, and 2000 was supposed to do that, and everything else was supposed to do that. But it doesn't always work that way. There's always a few little programs we have to order to make things more functional. Well, we're setting Sylvia up now with a portable XP, right from Dell, right, loaded to the gills. And it will connect into her her printer, and she'll be having the G85 XI from Hewlett-Packard for color printer, for scanning, for copying, and for whatever else it does.
Fax.
Fax, yeah, for fax too. So all those things will be working. And then we're going to really mess Sylvia and Ellen up, and we're going to link them.
Oh, my God.
We're going to link them so that all the computers and all the printers and all of the programs can be linked together. If Sylvia needs something from my computer, she just pulls up my computer on her computer and takes what she wants. And if she needs something from Ellen's computer, she just pulls it up and takes what she wants. If Ellen has just finished her article and Sylvia needs it, she just goes on Ellen's computer right from where she is and pulls it up, and it's already done. And there are so many beautiful things that will be shining forth out of this. And your satellite internet connection will be on all the time. And you will have it so that it'll be linked between all of the computers up here. So you have access to the satellite at all times. And that makes quite a nice thing. Makes quite a nice thing. So change is trying because it is challenging us. But I read an article in Discovery Magazine, and it said, the reason that is, most of the people who have Alzheimer's are not the intellectual people. They're not the people who are working on their intellect very strongly. Most of the people who have dementia, that is the ability to, the inability to be in charge of their mind and be in charge of their world, are people who are not active in their intellectual life. And that, again, which we had heard before, if you play crossword puzzles and keep your mind alert and alive, that you will live much longer and you'll live in a much more harmonious way. So with this change that we have in our computer system, we're all going to be living indeed a great deal longer, because we're being challenged to have all sorts of new awarenesses of what's going on in the field of computers, in the field of science, and we'll be able to tap into sources of information online that we have never dreamed of even looking at before. And well, along with it also will come programs of how to do the various areas of the computer and the various areas of things that we need. And this is the fun thing about it all. Change is trying. It demands us to wake up and be alert to what's going on in the world, but it also is rewarding, because what it does, we will live a healthier, happier, more dynamic life, and we'll be less concerned about things, less concerned about whether we are doing something right or whether we're doing something wrong. We'll just always be doing that which is for our highest good, and that which is right, and that which is fun, and that which is a joy to do. So, with your instant inspiration today, be aware that change is trying. Change is trying. Ellen has been talking to her son, and her son has been trying to make a shift from his father, who was alive, to his father, who is now on another dimension. And it's very trying. And so while he's doing this, his emotions are just a little bit low. And so he's subject to all sorts of other attitudes that come in. And as Ellen sees him now master of himself, he will be untouched by all of the things that try to touch him. And, you know, as Ellen tells me these stories, it seems as though the only thing that is disturbing her son, the only thing that's disturbing her son, is his big proboscis. He has a big nose, and he has his nose in somebody else's business, and he shouldn't. He should just keep his nose in his own business. Now, here on campus, we have that problem from time to time, too, where Ingeborg is concerned about what other people are doing, and Sylvia is concerned, and Dodie is concerned about what other people are doing, and Ellen is concerned. And every single time you're concerned about what other people are doing, you're unhappy. Well, how utterly, utterly stupid to be unhappy about what somebody else is doing. It's hard enough to be master of our own attitudes and our own world and our own, but change is trying. And when we see other people growing and expanding in their awareness, and we're judging them by having our nose in their life, we don't know what they're doing. Maybe they're flowing very harmoniously with their life and being untouched. And the moment we get in there, we re-enliven a misunderstanding. Whereas if we can stay back from it, like the mother who says, I saw you heard what you said to your friends there, that's not very nice. Well, if she just doesn't hear it, if she just doesn't know, if she says to her daughter or her son, well, you are a gentle, loving soul. You are always doing things that make you proud of yourself and make me proud of you. I'm just so happy with you. You're such a balanced girl. You don't let anything disturb you. And the girl may have let something terribly disturb her, but the mother just said the positive thing, you don't let anything disturb you. And it may not have instantly sunk into the girl's head, but it took a moment and then it was there. We are seed planters in ourself and in our world. So though change is trying, though change makes us wake up, where would we be if we still had the Iceman? Where would we be if we still had the
The Milkman.
The milkman, yeah, well, that's...
Do we still have?
We still have. But where...
Is it around?
Yeah, where'd we be if we still had the typewriter? Inga, the typewriter. And cluck, 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 clunk. And when I first got the IBM ESC, or IBM period, that was with the ball, you know, the selector.
Oh,
I thought that was so... It typed so beautifully, so fast, and I was quite quick. And it kept up with me. But the other thing, the keys would fall upon each other, and they would not do the right thing, but the selectric was, that is, the IBM selectric was the most beautiful thing that ever came into my life. And I never thought anything could improve on that. But that was a change that was so glorious. And I always, from that moment and before, have looked forward to change as an expansion of my consciousness, an expansion of my world, an expansion of everything beautiful and good for me. And I'm just happy that I don't live in a world where there's no change. Because if I lived in a world where there was no change, it'd be the most boring thing that you can imagine. The most boring thing. Can you imagine Rapunzel, Rapunzel, lower down your hair so I can climb up and come and love you? You know, you don't know the fairy tale of the princess in the tower, and her prince had to climb up on her hair to come up and save her and stuff like that. And you know, the story, the fairy tale, my goodness, doesn't he know about ladders? Doesn't he know about helicopters? I mean, you could take a helicopter and whirl around up there and say, come on up here, love, you know? And there's lots of things. And of course, say 200 years from now, maybe 300 or less, he could say, abracadabra, shishkumba, here you are right now, yeah. And have his sweetheart standing right next to him. No, wouldn't that be lovely? But that's change. That's change. And of course, you say it's going backwards. Well, and going forwards too. But just remember, change may be trying, but it's one of the most lovely trying things that we could ever want in our life. Because without it, we become very static, very stable, very, very unchanging. So I wish you all a happy life filled with many, many, many wonderful changes. And it would be my joy and my pleasure to see Sylvia sitting at her computer in, let's say, the year 2300, or maybe 2400, 2300, and saying she wishes she were back in her millennia. I doubt if that were true. But you see, we're always ready for the new. We're always ready for the glorious experiences that stand before us. So open your heart, open your mind, open your life to the beautiful things that stand before you, and enjoy yourself. It's earlier than you think. I love you.